Good evening. In Boone County, where I was raised, where I lived, we were about 15 minutes away from, when I was a kid, I thought was a big city, Madison, West Virginia. But what it is a small town. But my wife and I were driving, and you know, it was too hot to hike or do anything like that. So we drove, and we drove all the way through Madison, West Virginia. And as we're driving through, memories popped in my mind. And I remember the stores are no longer there now, but I remember some stores that used to be there. Now there's something else, or the buildings have been destroyed. And I just thought about how much that little town has changed. Life as I knew it had changed there in little Madison, West Virginia. Change is something that we know is coming and we see it coming, but we don't always want it to happen. Change is the hardest thing, one of the hardest things to overcome. Especially the older you get, things change. People change. But change is not always bad. There is change that is good, and it's something we should embrace. And the change that is good, as we will talk about tonight, is salvation. When one comes and receives Christ, the change they make is a great change. It's a change that is necessary. Yet many, I believe, well, not many, but maybe some, or maybe scared of the change they have to make because they know life as they know it. But once they come to Christ, things do change. Your environment changes. Your life changes. And so when we think about this good change, as we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 tonight, it's a change that I will say we must embrace, because it is a wonderful thing. And so going to our main text here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We see here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the first thing we're going to look at is in Christ. In Christ, if anyone is in Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, as we look at Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the richest requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so when we look at those who are in Christ, these are ones who do not gratify the desires of the flesh, who do not walk according to the desires of the flesh. They put off that old life. And Paul here, speaking of the law, we know Paul was once a Pharisee, the Hebrew of Hebrews. He did what was according to the old law. And so to him, those who are under the law, well, there's no solution. There's no way to be changed, to be new. Your sin still is there. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. And so that's why God sent his Son down here to die, to become sin on our behalf, to take our sins upon himself, becoming the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Without Christ, without being in Christ, your sin is there, and it will remain there until you take your last breath, or until Christ comes back. And on those, either one of those 2 days, we don't want to be found in sin. And so in Christ are those who do not walk according to the flesh. As we see in 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And the life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So once again, life is found in Christ, not outside of Christ. Once again, changes come. Good changes, not bad changes, good changes, great changes. We no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in Christ. We have a relationship with Christ. We have eternal life in Christ. Paul was writing this to the Corinthians because sin was there in the church. The sin needed to be taken away. The only way to do so is to withdraw, to get rid of it, and to embrace Christ, to embrace that change as a Christian. In Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. When we are in Christ, we have been justified, we have been sanctified, and one day we will be glorified. We cannot be made just. We cannot be sanctified. We will not be glorified as long as we are not in Christ. It's such an important thing that we understand that those who are in Christ have everything that they need. But those outside of Christ have nothing. You may have things in this world. You may have an easy-go life. Who knows? But one day that easy life will end. And then you're facing eternity. And so in Christ, when we look at what Paul is saying, for those who are in Christ, these are the benefits, these are the changes we have, and these are the good changes. And so going on with the main text here, he is a new creation. A new creation. You know, think back to January. We're already halfway through 2025. Soon enough, we'll be facing 2026. And it's amazing to me, within 4 years, it's going to be 2029. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. But when we look at every year, people try to make a new self, trying to make improvements, trying to be a better you in the new year. But it never works and never happens. A lot of them give up. A lot of them continue in their old ways. But for us, once again, as a new creation, this is a change we need. To be able to look at ourselves in a mirror and see a change. It may not be physically, but mentally, spiritually, it's a wonderful thing. Hopefully you're making changes physically. But mentally and spiritually, most importantly, spiritually, are we right? Are our souls right with God? Are we walking in a right way? Are we pure? Are we holy? And so when we look at places like Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I mean, this is one text that I said I would continue to put throughout this month and next month, dealing with discipleship, because I feel like so many see this text, read it, but they don't fully grasp it. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God? Or do we use our bodies to fulfill our own wants, our own desires? Do we walk according to the flesh? If we do, then we are not a new creation. We are not walking in newness of life. Once again, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. A new creation, a new man, a new woman, they're not going to dive back into their old life. There's a reason they made that change. Thinking about people who actually get in shape, I don't know if any of you have seen the show My 600-Pound Life. I think they even have My 1,000-Pound Life. But these people, when they do make that transformation, when they lose enough weight to have the surgery and then they lose that weight, they get healthy, they don't want to go back. Now, there are those who did not succeed in losing that weight, but they made that change. They no longer want to be this old person who was overweight, who was unhealthy, felt awful daily. They embrace that change, which is good change. As a new creation, we embrace not being like the world. We see nothing worthwhile to live for the world. There's nothing worth our souls. But for many, they haven't taken off the blinders. They have not seen that what the world offers is in vain, worthless. As Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes, all is vanity. And so when we look at this text, we must understand this is what a new creation, someone who's walking in newness of life, one who's embracing Christ, embracing that new life, they're not going to conform to the world. They want nothing this world offers. They are using their bodies as a sacrifice for the service of the Lord. They're using what God has given them to glorify Him, to praise Him, to teach Him to all who need to hear. Going back a few chapters in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 18 here. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Adam and Eve made a terrible decision. They disobeyed God. They ate of the forbidden tree. And so through them, sin, through them, death, came into the world. But just like it came through Adam, through another would come life, would come justification, sanctification, would come great things, would come eternal life. And that man was Jesus Christ. As a new creation, we understand this. We know and we have received it. We understand what Christ has to offer is far better than what this world has to offer. Yet we have many who continue in their old ways. And it's sad. I sometimes get on Facebook and I snoop. I like to snoop on people that I knew in high school. And, you know, they had a worldly mindset. And that's what they were focused on. You know, I knew of one guy, played baseball with me. He got to travel the world. He actually moved to London to do some work after he graduated high school, which I thought, man, that's amazing. That's great. Got out of West Virginia. You're making something of yourself. But I wonder if he's truly happy. As I see more and more people that I knew from high school, many which ended in death, sadly, these people are worldly minded. They lay their hope and everything on this life, not understanding that one day you can't take anything with you. You can't take anyone with you. You can't take anything. Yet that's their focus. instead of embracing this wonderful change, which is to come to Christ, to give your life to Him, and embrace that new creation, that newness. Everyone loves newness. When we first got our vehicle, I loved it. I wanted to drive it more than she did. Now it's like, it really doesn't matter. Now it's not new anymore. We've sat in it, ate in it, drove it for many miles. It's not new to me anymore. I could care less. We got stuff in the back, some dirty floor boards, you know, not too dirty. But when that newness wears off, people end up not enjoying it as much. And that's how the world is. We enjoy the newness once we find something new, but eventually we toss it aside. But not with Christ. Going back to our main text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old things have passed away. The old is the past. That's not who I am anymore. The old is the past. Why do we hold so dear and near to the past? The word nostalgic. I remember we were walking in a mall and I saw these old Nintendo 64 consoles. And boy, memories flooded back in. And then sometimes when you're scrolling on Facebook, I run across these pages that go back to the era that you were born in. Mine was the 90s. And so looking at all the decorations, how people decorated back in the 90s, what they wore, it's nostalgic. And I find myself sometimes, I wish the world was like that, back in the 90s. And of course, the 90s, we had weird things too. I remember the ketchup. It was a mixture of, I don't know, it tasted good, but it was weird. But then, you know, going through the past decades, 80s, 70s, it's a nostalgia thing. We wish we could go back to that time. But of course, the past, there's no way to go back. But for our walk with our Christian self, there is a way to go back to the old. And it's called rejecting Christ and embracing who we were once were. And that is lost, sinners, sin. We walk according to the flesh. We make that choice. But was there anything truly good about our old self? No. That old self was lost. That old self was full of sin, facing spiritual death. But because we embraced Christ, we gave our life to Christ, believed and obeyed, we now, of course, live for the future, not the past. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Those of old, the old self, loved sin, lived in sin, but the old self also faced depression, also faced not having any hope, peace, none of that. Out of ignorance, are blinded, and we see we have many today who have been blinded, who in their own ignorance no longer accepts the truth, don't want to see the truth, giving themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Why does that sound so fun? Why does that sound like something people want. Because when I see it, I see terrible things. I see things that have no hope, have no peace, have no truth. Once again, people hold on to the past. They hold on and cling for dear life because they're comfortable. They have become complacent. They become numb to guilt and shame. And it's the truth. But for us who have taken off the blinders, for us who have put off our old self, our past, we see this as awful. We have seen what Christ has to offer. We have tasted what is good. We have seen what is good, and we embrace it. We are no longer fearful of the future because we have Christ. We have hope. We have eternal life. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that many of us, as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Paul emphasized so many times with the churches he worked with and established, do not give in to sin again, but embrace Christ, embrace that walk, embrace that relationship, and you will see great things. And one day you will receive the crown of life. You will receive eternal life. Those who have been baptized, those who have been immersed for the remission of sins, they buried their old self. And they raised out of that water into newness of life, receiving the Holy Spirit and walking according to the Spirit, walking according to the commandments of God, because we know how great it feels. We know the benefits from doing so. So many who hold on to the past, they fear death. They fear no longer living, because they want to hold on to this life for so long. A guy that we watched a documentary on, and really his life motto is, don't die. He has the money to do so, by the way. If I had millions of dollars, I would probably be able to do what he's doing. But they have statistics that show he's on track to living to 150 years old. Now, granted, we're not in control of that. Things can happen. God is in control of all things. And when God calls your number, it's over. But that's his motto. He doesn't want to die. He wants to live a long life in this world. And of course, there are beautiful things in this life. Absolutely. There's still good in this life. But should we want to desire to be with our Lord one day for eternity? Absolutely. I look forward to that day that I get to be called home. And that's the attitude we need to have as new creation, as new people, new brothers and sisters in Christ, because we know what's waiting on us. Once again, when we look at life as we know it, it has changed, and it will continue to change. As we get further along, as 2026 passes, 2027 passes, so forth, so on, things will change. Not all changes are good, but there are changes that are good. And we need to understand, as long as we embrace Christ, as long as we live for him, no matter what changes come, we can overcome. Because we know what the future holds for us who are faithful. But for those who are lost, yeah, that fear will continue. That fear will be there. That fear of death, that fear of what comes next, because they do not have Christ. They are not in Christ. They are not a new creation. They have not let go of the past, the old self, the old sinful life. But what's coming is far worse. which is eternal punishment. So this evening, if you're not in Christ, you won't have the benefits that those who are in Christ have. You don't have hope. You don't have peace. You don't have any of that. You are not a disciple. But if you want to become a disciple, if you want to have those benefits, and there are many benefits to following Christ, then this is how you do it. First, you must hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. Then you must believe that word, Mark 16:15-16. Then you must repent, change your life, change one's mind. You got to deny oneself, take up your cross, and follow him daily. And then you must confess your faith in Christ. Those who confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. Those who deny me before men, I will deny before my Father. You must make that confession of faith. But it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of sins. As Paul would say in Romans 6, he clearly shows that what baptism is, what it stands for. It's the only way to make contact with the blood of Christ. It's the only way to become that new creation and walk in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23. That's the hard part. We will be tested. We will struggle. But it's all worth it. As disciples of Christ, it's worth it. Because one day when we take our last breath, or when Christ comes back, we will be ushered into eternity and be with the Father and the Son and the Spirit for eternity in heaven, where there is no more death, where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into your old ways, you have went back and dug up your old life, it's time to put it back and to bury it for good, to renew your walk. You know what Christ offers. Christ loves you and he wants you to be a part of his kingdom forever. He doesn't hate anyone, but he does call you to repent, to change your life, to embrace this change, and to follow him faithfully. So if you are here this evening, you need any assistance, don't hesitate. Come forward. Allow us to assist you in any way we can as we stand and as we sing.